The Dirty Dozen, Ireland's motorsport legends in conversation with John Kenny. This week, Austin McHale.
The final few yards of the 1990 Shell Gemini Donegal International Rally. After many years of trying, Austin McHale has won the rally that he came within 1 second of winning in the past. And for Dermot O'Gorman, it's a remarkable debut in the BMW. The new partnership has brought a new experience for Austin in Donegal.
Austin McHale is a five-time Irish Tarmac Rally champion and only narrowly missed out on equaling Billy Coleman's record of winning both the Irish and British Rally Championships. His duels with the likes of Coleman, Andrew Nesbitt and the late Bertie Fisher have gone down in Irish rallying folklore. He spoke to me at his headquarters at McHale's on the Greenhills Road in Dublin. McHale is known in rallying circles as the Rathcoole Ace, but he was actually born in Mayo.
Yeah, that's right, John. I was born in Mayo, a place called Imlach, Lewisburg, just outside Westport. And yeah, we moved to Kildare family early on and brought up in farming background. And I think that was the reason that I got involved into motorsport. I think I was driving a tractor probably when I was 6 or 7 years of age. Took it from there and probably started competing then about the 18, 19. We got involved in a guy called Fergal Allen, who was local to Maynooth and Tagadeau at the time, and we built this ex-Vinnie Moy racing Anglia out of Mondello. We started competing that, and the rallies would be gravel rallies and navigational mixed, you know, things like the Hideout and over in Kilcone and Kildare at the time, so that was very interesting.
But did your family have a background in racing cars? Was it just something that you saw, you liked and wanted to do?
No, not really. There was nobody in the family involved in motorsport. I think that maybe the very first thing we got involved in really was maybe out in the Santry, the time the stock car racing was there. And there's a brother of mine that started, Joe, got involved in that. And of course, me being younger, then started to compete there as well. And there was another well-known name there, Derek Daly, I think, started his sport as well. But then I went into the rallying and followed on from there. And, you know, we sort of... After the Anglia wasn't a great success, the fact that it had been a racing car and with no lights or anything on it, so the first rally we were to do in the car, and there was a guy outside Maynooth, Sean Kelly was his name, so he just got the car going and we were to go down to a rally in Limerick. Of course, we were mad to get a run in the car, and we took it down the road anyway, and Fergus says, I'd drive behind you in his car, and will you use the lights of his car for me to see where I was going? So we brought the mechanic and myself went down the road, and it was in the first bend we came to. I got a shadow with the lights behind and we went off down into a ditch and the car was damaged, and that was the end of the first rally.
What was it feel like to sit behind the wheel of a car and to drive at speeds? I mean, obviously you're very young, you know, you've done the stock car racing in Santry, but to be rallying down very narrow roads around Ireland, what was that feeling like?
Really, I think that the best car that we had at that time was we got this Escort Twin Cam, and we were really dying to get that car out because it was something different, and the drum of the engine in the Twin 45 Webers was really something else. And the first ride we got it out in was the Galway International. I think it was 70, 75 or 76, and we got an excellent run there. The car was reliable, and we finished well. No, that was really the start.
You drove as well in the Mintex rally in the UK, in Yorkshire, I believe, and the likes of Ari Vatten would have been on that, and Hanno Mikkola, Jimmy McRae, I suppose. And that was your first introduction to an international scene across the water?
Yeah, that would have followed on. We were probably in RS2000s then, that'd be 81. I think we changed on the Twin Cam, something about 77, 78, and we did maybe 2 or 3 years in the RS2000s. Yeah, we went to the British Championship. And I think it was our second year in it, and it was the Mintex was a snow ice rally. It was obviously in February, March, up in Yorkshire, and it was one of these things that, you know, it was easy enough to get a good result, and we got a third overall, which I suppose was something special for a Group N car, or as is known now at the time, it was a production car, and you know, that sort of started the ball rolling. We competed that year. Did well in the championship, and we were lying, I think, the Circuit of Ireland, someplace about fifth. Per Eklund was running ahead of us, and we were leading the Group 1, as it was known at the time, by something about 10 minutes. And we were trying to catch Eklund, and I think I put it off into a field in Donegal. That's the year that Rosemary Smith came in on top of John Tansey's car, all in the same corner up in about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in the Donegal Mountains up in the Glenties. You know, but we followed on then from that to in 82. we got into the Group A cars, as they were known, which was a Vauxhall Chevette.
And 83 was the year that you won the Cork 20 and also won the Tarmac Series. So it was a double celebration that year, wasn't it?
Yeah, 83 was our second year in the Chevette, and we got a couple of good results. It was our first international win. We won the championship as well in Cork. And then, you know, it was sort of the stepping stone, really, then to follow on into to the Opel days.
Did you have any other wins that year, or was it just a case of accumulating the points throughout the year?
I think we had a couple of seconds and a few national wins in the Chevette, but I think we were more reliability and went for the points rather than the outright wins. But Richie Healy was competing in them days as well, and Richie was very, very competitive. And, you know, I think he finished up second in the championship, and he was second in Cork, but I think Richie actually won one or two events that year. But, you know, they were the good days in the Chevette and the Escort.
84 then, the change to the Manta. Now, I know you got a deal together with the dealer team, Opel Ireland, and you were perhaps instrumental in getting that together. There is a story going around that, you know, your teammate at that time was Billy Coleman, and you felt perhaps a little bit aggrieved that he'd been foisted upon you.
I wouldn't say that in a way, really. I suppose, you know, it's water under the bridge now. But, yeah, we put the whole thing together with Opel Ireland and Baslicaro to Shell Isles. And the last day, really, to have everything signed up, I think the Cork, it was obviously involved, the dealers were involved with Opel around the country. And the Cork, or the Munster dealers, were looking for Billy to get into the team, and they organised that. But he's obviously been around for a few years prior to me, and was very experienced in motorsport and had won championships and won rallies, etc. And it was something special for me, probably on the other end, to get him into the team because he was experienced and was something that I could look up to. And it was a carrot there for someone to beat.
Was this his rallying comeback? He had been persuaded out of retirement by Ronan Morgan at this stage, I think, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know whether he was actually retired as such, but I think that whoever he was with prior to that, I think the team, they weren't competing anymore. And he came into the team, actually the first rally he did was doing it with, I think it was in Galway, I think it was Kenny Johnson, and then I think he couldn't do it or something like that, and Ronan went with him. And I think that was the start of the Billy and Ronan. Yeah, it was great to have him back and great to have him in the sport for the country. Obviously, as well, he'd be huge support, and it was good for us because there's somebody that we had to look up to and someone to beat, as I said.
The Manta was obviously very good to you, the 400, because you won the series in 85 and 86 then. Was it a car you liked?
Yeah, the Manta was, it was a very hard car to drive. You had to be physically fit and strong because there's no power steering in it in them days. And with the 10-inch wheels in the front and 11-inch wheels in the back, it would really pull the arms and shoulders out of you. But it was a terribly reliable car. It was, you know, maybe I shouldn't say that in a way because we were probably leading the Circuit of Ireland by something like 2 or 3 minutes and the engine went. But overall, like, I mean, it was very, very reliable.
And the backup you got from Opel at that stage, was it good? I mean, I know you drove an Opel Monza, was it, for one of the Circuit of Ireland, I think it was.
Yeah, with we used the Monza, I think it was 87, for the British rounds of the championship that counted towards both championships, which was the Ulster, the Manx, and I think it was the Circuit as well, because we couldn't use the Group A cars then.
The story of the Circuit was that the back window fell out and you had to find a replacement before final scrutiny.
It was about, in that day, it would be probably 2.5 hundredweight anyway, in weight. And sure, on the last stage, we have to get it back into the car. And
more change of cars then. You had the Mitsubishi Starion, the Sierra Cosworth. And then you settled on the BMW M3. And it became very distinctive because it was black. So it became a very distinctive car. So moving from the Manta to the BMW in what, in mid-80s, late-80s. What was the change like?
Well, the reason that we moved to the Starion, it was the same thing again, just for the Group A thing was being put to one side, and we couldn't compete in the British Championship or the Irish Championship, and we moved to the Starion. Pinty O'Ricklin, Ronan McNamee were doing well in the British Championship, and Mitsubishi in Ireland, we spoke to them about it, and we put a deal together at the end of the day anyway, and unfortunately the regulations changed again after that, and they brought back in the proper Group A cars, or the WRCs, as they're starting to get known now.
And then the move to Toyota in the early 90s, which was, I suppose, rather like the Opel Manta in the 80s, a successful transition from your point of view, because again, you won two championships in the 90s with two different versions of the Toyota Celica.
Yeah, when we moved, really sort of from the mid-80s to probably to the early 90s, we competed with Opel, and then when that was coming to an end, probably I think about 87, we went actually to BMW for 2 years, which is the M3, and I think we won something like 7 international rallies with that. I don't think we won a championship. But we saw that car before Donegal, actually, and it had won. It's the car that won it the previous year, which was 1990-91, and we did nothing then for, I think it was 2 years, and we started with the Toyotas.
And how did, obviously the Toyota was much to your liking, the Celica version. I know they got a Corolla later on, which perhaps wasn't, but the Celica certainly was, because you won two championships back-to-back, actually, 97-98.
Yeah, that's correct. I think we got the first Toyota, which was the 165, in 93-94, and we had, I think the first rally it was out, actually was in Galway. We won that, and we had a circuit win it as well. I think it was the last year of the long circuit, which was something around 1,500 stage miles, which was good for a Celica to have done. It was then the longest rally in the world. But to follow on, and that came to an end, and we went to the 185, as is known, which was a very successful car. It was a two-year-old car that had been used in the French Championship. And out of 14 starts, we won two championships, 12 wins and 2 seconds, you know, which was probably the two best years that we had in, or for anybody to have in the sport. You know, it was excellent results and the reliability was there, so we're very happy with that.
Now, you mentioned that circuit win in 93 with the first Celica that you got. As you mentioned, that was one of the big long rallies when it was actually was a circuit of Ireland. Subsequently, the Ulster Automobile Club shortened it because of money. It ran from Belfast to Limerick at one stage, and then Belfast to Dublin, and now it's running around the Enniskillen area. But there was I suppose the 1998 one is the one that will live long in the memory, winning the Circuit of Ireland and beating Bertie Fisher by just 1 second. And there was huge controversy about that particular win, wasn't there?
There probably was, to an extent, and the controversy was with us and the Motor Club, not with the late Bertie. We had no problem with him nor him with us, because it was a marshal of the USA that beckoned Brian to come into the control to get his time, and unfortunately he did that, and then when he went in he tried to penalise him 10 seconds. So that's where the controversy started, and obviously they wouldn't do anything about it till the rally was over, and at the end we'd won the rally. Either Bertie had won it by 9 or we had won it by 1, so whichever way it was going to be, and it was going on to the last stage. There was something like 20 seconds or 25 seconds something between us, and we actually won it by 1.
That must have been something else, because it was the last stage, to close the gap by that much. I know it was a long stage, but to close the gap between yourself and Bertie Fisher must have been some feeling.
Well, I suppose he was running first on the road and I was running behind him, and it was the greyhound after the hare. We had everything to gain and nothing to lose. We got to it by 26 seconds, which meant that we won the rally by 1. Then, of course, the whole controversy started with the Motor Club, and they still want to penalise us the 10 seconds for this infringement that they reckoned that Brian had made. So at the end of the day, with the stewards of the meeting, they ruled different.
The amazing thing to actually look back on in that 98 win against Bertie, and Bertie sadly is no longer with us. He wasn't just a great rival, he was also a good friend, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'd have known him for years, really. Probably I'd have met him first in the late 70s, and obviously he'd be near enough the same age as myself, and maybe he's, I think, a couple of years older, and I think it was more a family thing that really got to know one another over the years, and then the rivalry obviously was there, and but he was a great competitor, and that is for sure, and I really enjoyed the sport competing against him, and I think everybody that did would feel the same way.
It wasn't just Bertie who's no longer with us, Frank Morris no longer with us as well, and there's been a couple of deaths of spectators. I know the two tragically killed in Donegal a couple of years back. So it just brings it home as well that this is a dangerous sport.
It is in a way, but you know, unfortunately Frank had an accident, and of course really the sport was really sickened for that accident, because it was a freak accident, and Frank had a young family, etc., you know, and it was very sorrowful. But I think overall that the accidents in motorsport are very small in comparison to other sports, because in Donegal with the two marshals, I think that was just freak, because where they were standing, etc., and where the car happened to go off. And you know, we're always striving to try and keep the sport safer, and with fatalities or serious injuries, comparison to rugby or any other sport, you know, I think we're way down.
Now, that 1998 win, it's amazing to think now, is that was the last time you won an Irish International Tarmac Rally round. Can you put your finger on why it hasn't come since? I know you the Celica was ageing now at that stage, and it was time for a change, and you changed to the Corolla. But did you find that the change from the Celica to the Corolla just too cumbersome or just a difficult car to drive?
Well, I think the Sleek, yes, it was getting old at the time, and obviously we were driving with Toyota Ireland then, and we got the Corolla, and we did half a season or a season with the Corolla when we got it first, and did four or five or three, I think it was three of the national championship rounds and won all of them. But yes, so we didn't win an international. That was the last international we won, was in the Sleek. We have had a lot of seconds. Unfortunately, then with the left-hand drive, right-hand drive thing, I think that me being spinning so long in the sport and never driven a left-hand drive car, it took me a long time to get used to it, and I wasn't really dedicated enough or didn't have the interest enough to do it. It was a younger generation of competitors coming up, and I suppose I said after with Bertie not being there anymore, or Frank or people like that, you know, maybe I lost interest for a bit for a couple of years, and the left-hand drive definitely wasn't helping me. So last year in the British Championship, we had a very serious run at it, and I know if the car was in right-hand drive, I think the championship would have been won before the last round. I suppose maybe it's easy to be wise in hindsight, but we didn't do the first round, which was the Pirelli, and all we needed there really was a third, and that would have tied up the championship before the last round, but that's the way it goes.
And you're currently driving the Ford Focus, and this is the one you took to close to winning both the Irish and British championships last year, despite the fact that you didn't win actually any championship rounds in Ireland.
The British rounds are a thing that a lot of the Irish competitors won't go over for the reason that they use the same stages year in, year out, and obviously the local competitors know exactly where they're going. They can say the same thing for here, but we tend on the tarmac to change the stages and reverse them and run them different, etc., and have new ones. But it takes a year or two to get in the British Championship rounds and to know where the stages are that you've done, and to know what they're like.
Yeah, you've always pressed home the fact that you think that we have a very superior tarmac rally championship in Ireland. There's a huge element of a hidden sport agenda about rallying in this country, perhaps.
I think rallying is very, very popular in this country. You know, all you have to do is go to any of the championship prize givings or go to any of the events and take comparisons to European championship rounds or British championship rounds. And I've seen the British championship rounds. There's practically nobody there to finish, and you go to Donegal, Killarney or any of these places, and you know there's like them, and there's thousands and thousands of people there.
Are you annoyed by the lack of coverage?
The coverage in Ireland, I think, for the amount of people that's involved in the sport, and the amount of followers that's there and teams, etc., I think the TV coverage and the press coverage is not there now.
RPM aside, I suppose, and maybe one or two programmes on TG Car, that's about the limit. The national papers seem to ignore it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's not I think it's maybe ignorance more than anything else, that they're not getting the information. And there's certain newspapers that are definitely doing a good job in reporting the events. But I think an awful lot more needs to be done because it's got such a popular sport now. Obviously, a lot of the rounds to be during the summer when the GAA is on, and like the GAA is the most popular sport in the country. But we definitely need to get more.
Well, when you look at the amount of spectators that's going to it after GAA and soccer, rallying in terms of spectators seems to be the third most popular. That needs to be pressed home, perhaps.
Well, I think so. Yes, definitely. It's definitely in the first five. You know, it needs to be pressed home to get the coverage. You know, the amount of people that is there and the commitment that's there from competitors and from teams, etc. Yeah, it will make a huge difference. And to make a huge difference as well to get some good Irish competitors into world championship sort of stuff.
You said that before as well, that perhaps it's just a piece of glass and a bit of dust gathering at the end of the campaign. There's not a huge amount of money in it, and perhaps not a great lot of incentive for drivers to go abroad. Do you think that we should be sending the winner of the championship to, say, like the Race of Champions, to say a European round, or be sponsored for a World Championship round?
Yeah, I think the Race of Champions is probably one thing to do, but I think they should be sponsored for maybe two or three rounds of the World Championship, and to maybe pick the events, the tarmac events that they'd be more familiar with, and maybe one gravel and two tarmac as a prize. And I think that should be put together. Maybe Motorsport Ireland should do to put something additional onto competition licences, even though they're dear enough at the moment. But think of some way of putting together and getting the finance together for some of our top drivers to do something like that. You know, like, after all, Colin McRae and these guys, you know, Jimmy was there, obviously he had a contact for them, for the McRae's, and to get them in, etc. But when they got there, they proved they're well capable of competing with the best, and I think we've people here who were just as good.
Obviously your main focus has been the Tarmac Championship over the years. Which out of all of those is your favourite? Would it be the Galway one? I know you've won it six times.
Yeah, as a rally, I think that they're all good. Galway is a very well organised rally. It's a good rally, and as at the start of the year, and the roads are very slippy and conditions are bad, and it puts a lot of pressure on the driver and the co-driver to make sure their notes are right and to cope with the different conditions. It's a bit like Monte Carlo. I think for sheer out-and-out speed and a thrill, Donegal, because it's the middle of June and you have the crowds there, and it's really always very dry and out-and-out speed. And then for organisation and really good stages, Killarney.
And co-drivers, I know you've had a few down the years. Brian Murphy's your current one. He's been with you for quite a while now. You've had like Ronan McNamee, Christy Farrell, Dermot O'Gorman. You know, they've been with you throughout the years. Could you pick the best one, or is it just the best one, Brian, because he's the current one?
Yeah, I'd have to say Brian, of course. But I think I've been lucky. All my co-drivers have been very good. Brian is very dedicated, and I get on very well with Brian. I've known him for a long time. I would think probably Dermot O'Gorman is obviously good. He did a couple of years with me, and I think Dermot won his first international with me in Donegal. Ronan McNamee was very professional, but he moved on to bigger things then. I think at the end of the day, the man that had the hardest job was at the start was Christy Farrell. At that time, all the stages were blind. Christy was excellent on maps, which was a huge advantage to me because he'd be nearly able to call the roads as good as if you run pace notes. When I got to trust Christy after a couple of events, you know, it was really excellent what he was capable of doing.
Who would you say was your greatest rival?
Probably the hardest to beat, I would think, was probably Bertie. Billy was always very competitive. He probably had that much more experience than everybody else at the time because he was at it for a good while. And when pace notes came into the here first, he was very competitive straight away. And it took us a while to get in the system. Obviously, Frank was good. You know, really, I think right across the board, you know, in the older days of the start, like Richie Healy was really excellent, you know, and all them guys were very competitive.
The cars obviously need to be prepared. You have a team behind you as well. And there's a few who've been with you for a couple of years.
Yeah, I suppose Noel Gilson is the one that really goes back the longest. Noel was with me in the RS2000s, which would be back as far as the Twinkin, which were the mid-70s, and Noel is still there. I think probably then Michael Eve, which is a brother-in-law Noel's, he took over the preparation of the car at the time, about 81, I think it was, or 82. And Mick was with me up to 2002. And he did all the cars from Mantis to BMWs to Toyotas. Yeah, there's him and Brendan Cringan has been the technician, and he's still there. Obviously, Willie Elliott was the panel beater. Willie is still there as well.
Well, you're known as a bit of a perfectionist in your job, and sometimes out in the stages you can let people have it. You know, how has the team reacted when you've not been happy with the setup of the car?
I think they know me that well now at the moment. They don't pass any remarks, but yeah, I think everybody does their best, you know, and there's nobody in the team that would willingly not do their best. But it's still our own, mainly our own boys, that's the backup. It's getting very technical now, and that's the unfortunate thing. I think the current cars now are so technical and so hard to run and expensive, and I think it's getting maybe slightly out of hand.
You mentioned boys, Aaron and Gareth are coming up behind. So you're leaving a dynasty behind you as well, and two pretty good drivers carry on the McHale name. Do you worry about them, or...? Do you think they're as good as you?
Well, I never said that, whether they are or they aren't. You know, I wouldn't let myself down or say that they're going to be better. Yeah, but definitely they are. They're very competitive, and it's great in a way, and I think they're safe, and I think they have enough of sense that if they're getting beaten or they have problems, they will back off and till the time is right, and then they'll go with their ultimate again.
Year after year, you've done Irish rounds, British rounds. You're running McHale plant. I mean, where do you find the time?
It's hard at times, John, to find the time, but... We have a good team of people around us. Obviously, the plant hire business is always very competitive, and the demolition, etc., something's built up over the years. And the construction company, which is Gary Aaron Homes, and that's building a fair few houses at the moment, and is to watch that as well. But overall, I suppose, you know, you just have to make time for the sport end of it. You know, if you're not fond of motorsport, it'd probably be golf, or you'd be gone doing something else or whatever.
When you look back at your career and the highlights and the lowlights, you know, can you pick out one particular moment that was a real high for you?
I think probably, you know, like all sport, I think the year that we won our first international, which was Cork 20, to meet at the first international and the championship.
And anything that you might say, shouldn't have done that? Any regrets?
People often say to me, why didn't you go involved in world championship stuff back in the 80s? But, you know, I had a young family at the time and I had no ambition really to go down that road. I was happy enough building up the business and building up for what the family that was growing up. And, you know, people often say to me, well, why, you know, should you not go and have done that?
Your first passion, first love is the Irish Tarmac Rally Championship.
Yeah, well, I think the Irish Tarmac Championship has always been very competitive. But it's nice to do foreign events. We did a rally, which is a European Championship round in East Germany, which is a gravel rally, and we finished second in it, which was, you know, probably good enough by Irish standards anyway, or by any standards. And I really enjoyed that. We did rallies in Poland, Belgium, you know, the most European rounds. You know, I still think that the Irish events are very competitive, even more so than there. And, you know, it's nearer home, etc. We have probably the best rallies in Europe, and it's as simple as that.
Austin McHale, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, John.
Next week on Ireland's Motorsport Legends, Eddie Irvine.
EJ uses people as I use people. You know, when you're in that, when you're in the game of Formula One, you know, you can be loyal to a certain extent, but really you got to look after number one, because if you don't, you'll get screwed. And EJ, you know, tried to screw me, and then I tried to screw him, and you know, that's the way it was. And I think he got $4 million from Ferrari, but he wanted more, and I think he was being greedy, and so he didn't get it.